Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After the Sabbath and towards dawn on the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary went to visit the sepulchre. And all at once there was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His face was like lightning, his robe white as snow. The guards were so shaken, so frightened of him, they were like dead men. But the angel spoke, and he said to the women, "There is no need for you to be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said he would. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead, and now he is going before you to Galilee. It is there you will see him. Now I have told you." Filled with awe and great joy, the women came quickly away from the tomb and ran to tell the disciples. And there, coming to meet them, was Jesus. "Greetings," he said. And the women came up to him and, falling down before him, clasped his feet. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that they must leave for Galilee. They will see me there." The Gospel of the Lord. Do you believe in the resurrection? I mean, do you really believe? The fact that you are here tonight is our public declaration that we really do believe. Our faith may sometimes falter, it can go up and down, but tonight is the big one. We're here to reaffirm our faith, that we believe the witnesses, that we trust them when they tell us they saw Jesus die, and then they saw him alive again. For us, tonight is the Christian highlight of the year. But not everyone shares our faith. For a lot of people, Easter is just another holiday. Such people may be cynical. They may think us foolish. Let's just see what they might say about the Christian stories about Easter. They might have a point. Perhaps all those witnesses in the Bible got together to string together a good story. But why would they do that and risk death? I don't know. But let's consider it anyway. And all four Gospels are the same on this point. All of them include all the evidence, warts and all, about the resurrection. No one, and I mean no one, in the first century would choose women to be the main witnesses. Why? Because in those times, women were seen as unreliable witnesses. If you wanted to set up a new religion, you would not start by basing it all on people who would not be very convincing. The fact is, the Gospels recorded these events of the first Easter very precisely as they actually happened. And that sometimes means there are slightly different versions of the same event according to different people who were there. Now, anyone who has ever investigated anything, who's gone to court and heard people describing what they saw, what they heard, etc., they will know that slight differences are to be expected. In fact, it gives the case greater credibility. Indeed, if all the witnesses to something all said exactly the same thing, something fishy would be going on. And talking of eyewitnesses, Who in their right mind would choose St. Peter to be in charge of organizing a new church of Jesus Christ? Peter, the man we heard so bravely boasting only last Thursday to Jesus that he would lay down his life for him. But when things got threatening, he promptly denied Jesus three times. Who would trust anything he said? Yet all the frightened disciples who ran away last Thursday, fearing for their lives, are, from the moment of the resurrection, completely transformed. They have definitely seen Jesus again, Jesus risen from the dead. From that moment, they all courageously preach the good news that Jesus has risen. They are fearless. And in the end, Peter does indeed become a martyr for Jesus Christ. But were all these intimate friends of Jesus somehow mistaken? Was it really Jesus who was crucified? To answer this, you need to know the actual circumstances of a Roman crucifixion. Unlike the traditional crosses we have that have become a symbol of Christianity, the Romans crucified people on a stake with a crossbar that left the victim with their feet just slightly off the ground. They were at the same level as passers-by who could and did talk to them. The victim was only slightly higher than anybody standing next to them. We know Mary, the mother of Jesus, was standing by him, and Mary Magdalene, and his favourite disciple, John. They knew Jesus. It was Jesus on the cross. But some might say Jesus passed out and was then revived, that he never died. There's one problem with this theory. We know it was Jesus who suffered the dreadful beatings and torture before being crucified. Crucified. The pain of crucifixion is so intense, they had to invent a new word to describe the horror. Excruciating. The pain of the cross. You don't recover from that sort of horrific beating and torture after 2 or 3 days. Apart from the horrendous loss of blood, dehydration, the effects of shock on the human body, the mental damage. Without modern medicines, infection sets in rapidly. In those days, Jesus' fate was sealed as soon as those nails went through his hands and feet. And to make sure that he is, after he's dead, they cut him open with a lance to make it clear to everyone that he was dead. But the Jesus they see on that first Easter is moving around, talking normally, just as if those horrors had never happened to him. He's left with the scars, but otherwise he's completely recovered. This is a truly miraculous event. We believe Jesus rose from the dead. Holy Mother Church has 8 readings listed for tonight's celebration, and they range from the story of the creation to Abraham, our father in faith, offering to sacrifice Isaac, his son, the escape of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and several prophecies of salvation. We heard them from Isaiah. And the one reading that's always included in the story is the story from Exodus, of Moses leading the people of Israel through the Red Sea. All this is because tonight, with Christ's resurrection, we are celebrating a new beginning for humanity, a new creation. Something we now know is the biggest thing to have happened in human history. God became man. A man called Jesus, a name which itself means God saves, and a man who'd fulfilled all the prophecies about how he would come into this world, what he would do in this world, how he would die and then rise again. And these prophecies go back some 4,000 years, and today, before he was born, and today we celebrate the final piece of the jigsaw, the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. Exactly as prophesied. And tonight's celebration is about how we, the people of God's church in Hall Green, have been saved through our belief in Jesus Christ. That he's saved us from death by conquering death. And the way we rejoice tonight is by proclaiming our belief in and faith in the risen Lord, by reminding ourselves that we are baptized Christians. The sacrament of baptism was foreshadowed in Jewish history by the parting of the Red Sea, escaping certain death through water. Can you see the link? That's why the reading is always part of this Easter Vigil celebration. And that's why shortly we will all renew our baptismal promises. And tonight we are joined by a new member of our Christian community. In a few moments, Kazim is going to be baptized in front of us to publicly demonstrate his faith in Jesus Christ. As we rejoice in our own salvation, as we marvel at the wonder of the resurrection and what it has meant for humanity, please offer a prayer for Kazim. Christ is risen. Let us rejoice.